Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, don't worry about Senate President Matt Regeer. He'll be here. He's on lake time. You know, when you come from the Flathead Valley, you're on lake time.
That's right.
You're always chilled out. Hey, don't worry. It's going to be fine. We're going to make it happen. We're on lake time.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
It's a good thing. I love the lake
time. Welcome to the Flathead.
I was never one of those, I'm going to be 15 minutes early to every meeting, because then you know what happens. You know, the guy that told you to be 15 minutes early was giving you the 15 minutes earlier than 15 minutes earlier. Before you know it, you're standing there for a half an hour wasting time. So, no, time. Let's just roll with the lake time.
You never want to set the bar too high. Right?
Yeah. Hey, good to see you here, man. It's so great to be here on the third floor fan window location of the Montana Capitol. Beautiful backdrop with the rotunda here. The steps of the Capitol, the flags behind us, the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. They're having their big co-op day at the Capitol on Monday, and they're inviting everybody to come on out and say hi, meet your lawmakers and more. So we're here previewing Monday's co-op day at the Capitol today, but talking with a lot of lawmakers already here.
Great.
And, you know, power issues, energy issues, the Held v. Montana case. There's a lot on the agenda this session.
Yeah, there is. And I'll just bounce off. I'm going to put a plug in for our Capitol here. I've had opportunity here in the interim, just being in the legislative process, to go on some conference trips around the nation and see other people's Capitol. And ours by far is very unique. It's a great Capitol building. Montana, if you haven't been down here, especially during the session, to watch your legislators in action, it is open committee meetings. Come take a walk through the Capitol. I just encourage you to come down and see. It's your Capitol, and it's an amazing building that I'm very proud of, especially seeing the other states and what they have out there.
I remember when our U.S. Capitol, and this really has the feel of the ornate decorations of the U.S. Capitol as well, but I remember when our U.S. Capitol was like that, where you could walk the halls and you could, or just sit out on the front steps or go for a run to the Lincoln Memorial and back and run into lawmakers and run into people. It's not that way in Washington anymore. It's still that way in Montana. Yep. You can still come here and yesterday, I mean, shaking hands with some of the Democrat lawmakers. Hey, how you doing? We may not agree on all the issues, but hey, you can still be agreeable.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're still a citizen legislature. That's what I love about it. I'm just a construction worker that comes down here for 4 months and creates the laws for our state. So it's you do get the view from Main Street here in the Capitol. That's the people that are voting on the legislation.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Normally, we'll have you join us every Thursday for our weekly legislative update. We'll keep that going, but we're here today, so that's why it's great to have you in person with us here. Coming up also this hour, of course, we've got Ryan Hall here with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. I think Representative Courtney Sprunger out of the Flathead is going to be here with us. The chair of the Energy Committee, Representative Gary Perry from the House side. And the Senate President Pro Tem Ken Bogner later in the hour as well. Stand by, more with Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell here right after this quick break with Montana Talks live from the Montana Capitol. Hello.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yep, the radio host, me, I'm a co-op member. I'm a member of Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative. You've got Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear. He's a member of an electric cooperative. Ryan Hall, you were just telling us this during the break. Ryan Hall with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Good to see you as well.
Yeah, so Speaker Lear is a member of Lower Yellowstone out in Sydney. And, of course, we have the president here who's a member of Flathead Electric.
That's right. A lot of my money goes to Flathead Electric.
Yeah. Well, but they, you know, I'll tell you what, these electric cooperatives, man, we've been so blessed that we haven't seen the massive rate hikes that so many other folks all across the country have been seeing. And big part of that is because they're locally controlled. We all have a say. We all have a vote, et cetera. But Senate President Matt Regeer, great to see you. Judicial reform already moving forward here through the committee process.
Yeah, and it was exciting, the state of the state. I don't know if you talked about that. Governor, and I was Speaker and myself were behind him there, and he called out, bring light to the darkness, as he's calling out the judicial branch for hiding behind the cloak of nonpartisan when they're anything but that. So it was exciting to hear the governor call out the justices sitting right there in the front row, just calling the spade a spade and calling what it is. That judicial reform needs to happen. The voters need transparency there on the judicial branch, and we've already got a bunch of bills running through the Senate. We've had partisan judges that was heard yesterday that just require judges to be transparent with the voters and say, these are my ideals and this is my ideology, and then Democrat or Republican, just to give the public some sort of sense. I mean, that is the one call during during the elections that I get from friends and constituents of, who do I vote for? I have no idea about this judge. Who's what?
Yeah.
And I was this cycle, I was watching Nonstop Local. Bradley Warren was doing a thing with the Supreme Court candidates, and one of his questions is, what's your stance on abortion? I mean, that is a total legislative question. Any legislator or governor, you would ask that question, right? Because that's a legislative prerogative. But why are you asking judges? That you might as well ask them, hey, what's your ideal tax rate? I mean, it's...
Yeah. Although, in all reality, we already kind of knew what their positions were
absolutely.
On abortion, because we saw that Planned Parenthood was funding absolutely. These campaigns. And so, why don't you just be honest with the voters, what's going on?
$100,000 from Planned Parenthood to Ingrid Gufferson's campaign. Mm-hmm. That was... Yeah. It's blatant.
Yeah. The governor also, I thought, had some very, very powerful remarks regarding, and seemed like he showed his clear support for House Bill 121 to protect women and girls and safe spaces. And that has now cleared the Montana House. And so could that see action pretty soon in the state Senate as well?
Yeah, I believe we're going to get that from the House. I think today they're probably going to send that over. So then we'll start the process again, and it'll go to a committee hearing. And obviously... Straight up bill, men in men's bathrooms, women in women's bathrooms. It's common sense these days that common sense is controversial. But yeah, we're going to hear that quick here in the Senate and get it to the governor's desk.
You know, you opened up the show here by talking about just how accessible your Capitol is, how accessible your lawmakers are. And Monday for co-op days of the Capitol is going to be a great time to access those very lawmakers. Ryan Hall with Mecca, just talk about what Monday's co-op day at the Capitol event is going to look like. People can come meet people like Senate President Regeer.
Absolutely. The key to anything at the Capitol, they'll tell you, is a free lunch in the rotunda, and that's exactly what we're going to do. So we have a hot Montana roast beef sandwich, and we put them in little lunch bags for folks. So busy folks like the president that may have to run to a caucus or do a meeting can do that. Others can stay and sit at tables. And we have a lot of co-op representatives that are there because we do have a lot of urban legislators that don't know exactly what electric co-op is or why we're a little different than the IOUs. So it's a good chance just to meet with some of our member services folks, and they can just explain what a co-op is. If they want to know about our issues, we'd gladly have that conversation. But it's more just about who we are, why we're different, kind of why local control is important, and a chance to have a good lunch and just meet and chat with folks. We invite people from all the offices in the Capitol, as well as the other lobbyists, anyone who wants to stop by. We usually serve between 400 and 500 lunches.
Yeah, it's great. I remember being there last session, and, you know, Joe Schmo, members like me can even come and get a chance to mingle with everybody. And so, yeah, it's always a ton of fun. President Regeer, any other big bills that you're going to be working on, you're going to be talking about, maybe especially on the energy front, since we're talking about the people that keep the lights on for us?
We're working on different energy things. I know you said Representative Gary Perry out of Colstrip is going to come on a little later, and he's kind of the more expertise there on energy. But, there are things that are moving and shaking on the energy front here in Montana.
The Senate, you know, there's been this big battle over the rules, and you're operating under some existing rules right now. Does everything look like it's smoothing out and squaring away?
No, and I appreciate the question on opening day, 15 minutes into this session. We had a handful of Democrats go with the Democrat Minority Leader Pat Flowers on his motion to put in temporary rules that really changed up the way the Republican majority set up the session. And so that is something I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep standing firm for the Republican majority. Voters sent us here to control the show, not for the minority Democrats to control the floor. And right now we're still under those temporary rules, which to me is egregious. We need to move on to permanent rules and get the control back for the majority party.
Yeah, I don't see why this is still going on. It seems like, okay, they changed the committee makeups, did away with the executive review committee. So what's the holdup here? Let's get moving. Let's get the... It's not going to be good for the leadership across the board. It can't be good for the governor's agenda either. So let's everybody get together, move forward, and get going.
Absolutely.
Seems pretty straightforward. All
right. Absolutely.
Mr. President, good to see you. Thanks for dropping in.
Thanks a bunch, Aaron. Great chatting.
All right. Let's see. Coming up. Well, we'll take a quick break. We got more lawmakers to follow.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, we got a great lineup coming for you here. You know, part of the fun of doing a show like this where we just have the microphones open. I've been catching up with lawmakers walking down the hallway. Ryan Hall and Gary Weens with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association put together a great lineup for us here as well. I'm going to have a lot more audio on our Montana Talks app, on our podcast for later, because this is such a fast-moving statewide show, of course. But the great part is we just get to hear from all these lawmakers. Hey, what are you working on? What do you want to tell folks about? And it's amazing how much you learn just with that open microphone. Great to have Representative Courtney Sprunger with us on the show now. She's out of the Flathead. Representative Sprunger, great to have you on the show. You know, but before I ask you what you want to talk about, Joey Gruel was just telling me here at the Capitol, you've got a bill to deal with illegal aliens, especially those that are entering our workforce. This is a big topic that our listeners have been talking about for quite some time now.
You bet. So I heard about it a lot, obviously, up here in the Flathead. So we decided to take a constitutional approach. As Aaron, I'm sure you know, the federal government deals with the individuals or our law enforcement if there's a law broken. But when it comes to labor, we're in a really difficult position. And that's, this bill is called the Legal Act, the Legal Employment and Government Accountability Act. And it, I've been working on it for a couple months with the Department of Labor, and it empowers the Department of Labor during regular inspections that they already do to go ahead and check for employment documents, whether that's through E-Verify or your old school like I am and use the I-9 documents. And to make sure, you know, there are actually legal ways that people who have legally entered the country from other places can actually participate in the workforce, including those that are asylum seekers. They can get a federal work authorization permit once they've been here 150 days. So this is addressing people that are either choosing intentionally to hire underneath the table or people who are choosing to take work that way. And I think it's a really important issue. We're starting to see businesses in my area, for sure, they're suffering from other organizations that are undercutting the market. You know, and we're also seeing, quite frankly, a lot of gang activity in other states where they are actually leveraging some of these people who are here for any variety of reasons. And there's labor trafficking that's going along with this. So this is a very important bill for fairness and safety within our state.
Well, and I think and hope there can be some bipartisan support for this as well, because, you know, this is something that I've heard. We've had callers both from the left and from the right who are saying, okay, yes, we need to do something about these illegal aliens from a law enforcement, from a state government perspective, from a federal perspective, but who's hiring these illegal aliens and
exactly.
How do we crack down on that? That's what this bill sounds like it will do.
It does, and it's constitutional. And I think that's the most important thing is that, you know, we can have great ideas, but if we can't actually execute them, it does not help solve the problem. So ensuring that we have a system that works within the framework that we have now is really, really important. And if you think about it, somebody said, you know, somebody asked me yesterday, well, how do you even know that there are people here doing this work? I said, well, anecdotally, my constituents are my data. When they are calling me and telling me we are being undercut, our businesses are suffering, that's something worth looking into. The Department of Labor will help delineate between maybe people that are perceived to be and people that in fact are. And the only way to do that is to go on site and check, because it has come to my attention that criminals don't tend to abide by the law. So they're not really turning in their data about who is and who isn't legally working.
So before I get your take on energy issues and then also, hey, ask what other bills are you working on that you want to tell folks across Montana? We had a message on our Montana Talks app from Kat in Sydney. Aaron, can you please ask Representative Sprunger why she voted to let biological males use female restrooms at the Capitol? I know you took a lot of heat over that initial yeah. rules vote, but you did vote in support of House Bill 121, which should clarify that issue, not just for those specific restrooms, but for a whole host of facilities to protect women and girls, right?
You bet. And people are understandably concerned. Boy, I'd be concerned if I saw that vote. And it's so hard because, you know, they say if you're explaining, you're losing, right? But the reality is this is a complex topic when it came to the amendment on our House rules package, which was the first vote that I took. I want to clarify by first saying I believe that girls should be in girls' bathrooms, boys should be in boys' bathrooms. I was a female athlete all of my life, and I understand this issue intimately, which is why I fully supported House Bill 121. And that was the Republicans' bill. And that is a comprehensive bill to deal with all public spaces, girls and women's private spaces. So that is locker rooms, that's bathrooms, that's prisons, et cetera, right? And so it's a comprehensive bill, but it is not, it's not designed in such a way that our courts could state it's a specifically discriminatory law towards one individual. Unfortunately, and let me just say, I really appreciate the representative that brought forward the amendment to our House because he's doing the thing that men in our life should be doing. He's standing up for the women in his life. So I believe that his intention and his heart behind that rules package amendment that he brought was absolutely in the right place. And it was a really hard vote for me to take, but I was deeply concerned if we take and make a package rule that was designed for one person, one bathroom, we're going to end up with a discriminatory clause before the Supreme Court, which would then...
Whereas now you've got a bill, House yeah. Bill 121, that settles the issue for everybody across the board in all public facilities. All right. Hey, I got some breaking news about TikTok out of the United States Supreme Court that I meant to share earlier on the show, but now I also have a statement from Attorney General Austin Knudsen. I'll get to that a little later. Representative Courtney Sprunger, energy issues or anything else you want to tell folks across Montana about some of the bills you're working on?
Yeah, I'm excited to see us put some protections. Obviously, the Held case is scary for Montana. I think we just have to be practical. We all want a healthy environment, and I think that can be achieved while ensuring that we have reasonable access to energy. So I do believe that some of our traditional industries like coal are under attack. And those are longstanding Montana traditions that we need to find ways to protect. We also need to be looking. I think it's fine to look at a full slate, right? Hydro is a great clean energy. So we've got to do things that protect the Snake River dams, which are maybe not in our state, but affect our energy grid tremendously. So I don't sit on the energy committee, but it's an issue I'm watching up here in the Flathead. We are heavily impacted by the national discussion around energy because we get our energy grid is tied in with Washington and Idaho. So you can imagine how that plays out for us.
Well, and California is just the clearest example of why we shouldn't just tear down these dams and do away with this tremendous
Absolutely.
Renewable resource. Yeah, Representative Courtney Sprunger, great to have you on this show. Thanks again for being with us here with our live show from the Montana Capitol.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. And yeah, definitely, hey, call in. You know, next week we're going to have a busy week. I'll be broadcasting live on Tuesday from Capitol Hill in D.C. I'll be calling in from President Trump's inauguration on Monday. And then I'm 3 days coverage at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. So busy week next week. But then after that, you know, we like to keep the phone lines open. So, hey, maybe a lawmaker wants to call in because they got a bill that's seeing some action they want to get the word out on. Or maybe you want to call in across the state. So that's why we really try to keep a lot of open phones time during the normal weeks. Ryan Hall with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Yeah, you know, she mentioned the dams in the Northwest. You did really, truly an investigative report for the Rural Montana magazine on that very topic. You went there, you got great photos, you got some great insight. So it was a really in-depth report in the Rural Montana magazine.
Yeah, it was a four-part series. It started in July. It's still on our website that people can go see. It was really interesting. We really tried to do almost news-based, fact-based reporting like you'd see long form in the old Sunday newspapers, and just tried to show people what the truth was. We were honest about what fish mortality rates are, and we were honest about some questionable things that we found out, such as everyone talks about the total dissolved gas and how that's dangerous for the juvenile fish coming down. And we found out they're measuring that up to 3.5 miles away from where the water's hitting the water, where you would think the gas would be the highest. They're measuring it several miles downstream in a couple of these dams, and we didn't know that. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting the readings that they are required to get, but it's farther downstream. So there's a lot of things that we brought up. We knew that the operational changes from the recent court settlement were impacting dams. We didn't realize by how much. You can look and see the numbers in that story, but in a lot of cases, it was pretty substantial. We're dropping, you know, hundreds of thousands of megawatts in a month.
Wildfires, the Battle of Los Angeles. Unfortunately, we know that what happens in California doesn't stay in California, that bad things happening down there or bad decisions down there or inaction down there can lead to higher insurance rates for us here in Montana or, frankly, could lead to no insurance coverage. That's a big issue of concern for the electric cooperatives, even on the legislative front, is these concerns about potentially losing wildfire insurance coverage, which could bankrupt an electric utility.
Yeah, so we were told by our insurance carrier that nationwide, the insurance carrier that provides coverage for all 900 plus co-ops, said we are two major wildfire disasters from co-ops not being able to get wildfire coverage. And when that happens, that's what leads to bankruptcy. And people, you know, always say, well, someone will pick up the power, the lights will come on tomorrow. Some of these rural areas, you got to remember, electric co-ops were founded because people didn't want to provide power to where there is 3, 4, 5 miles between houses.
It costs too much money. There's a lot of dirt between light bulbs out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Conrad Burns used to say.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You know, your neighbors are cows in some of these places. And so when that happens, and if a co-op does go bankrupt because of one of these, you know, strict liability lawsuits, as they call them, then how do the lights come on and does everyone get picked up? There's no plan for that. So it's a really scary proposition. And we're doing what we can on the front end to try to make sure that wildfires don't happen with wildfire mitigation. And we've got a bill that Gary talked about earlier that has plans built in to make sure we're doing our part to make sure fires don't happen as best we can. But nature is nature, and the power company is not always the one responsible.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, sometimes they try to do the right thing. Hey, we want to cut down these trees so it doesn't spark a wildfire. And the federal government land management agency said, nope, can't cut down those trees. And then a fire actually breaks out. And then the same federal government wants to blame the electric utility. It's like, oh, for Pete's sake. Quick break. I'll give you this big TikTok news out of the United States Supreme Court, along with reaction from your attorney general.
The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act will sunset at the end of 2025 if Congress doesn't extend the legislation or make the measures permanent. Successful Farming says provisions scheduled to end include a pass-through deduction for business owners, lower individual income tax rates, expanded tax brackets, and a higher estate tax exemption threshold. Other provisions in the act have already lapsed or begun phasing out ahead of the expiration. While manufacturing sectors would lose the most jobs, the report also says that agriculture, forestry, and the fishing and hunting industries could lose a combined 50,000 jobs, leading to lost wages and benefits totaling $3 billion and reduced economic activity of $10 billion. In other news, the U.S. is facing a critical shortage of livestock and poultry veterinarians, threatening public health, food safety, and agricultural communities. To address this, the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research and the American Association of Veterinary Medical Colleges has established a veterinary student fellowship. This year, the program will expand its scope, eligibility, and impact, addressing challenges in nutritional security, environmental sustainability, and public health. Open to domestic and international DVM or VMD students, the fellowship requires no prior research experience or matching funds. For the application, visit the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Thank you.
taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so here's the breaking news. It's probably was mentioned in some of the national news updates already as well, but I kept this one up as a reminder here. The New York Times sent out this alert. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, ruling against TikTok, you know, the Chinese-owned app TikTok, rejecting the company's First Amendment challenge to a law that effectively bans it starting on Sunday, unless, of course, an American company purchases TikTok from the communist Chinese. And last I heard, I hope it happens, Elon Musk was reportedly looking to buy TikTok. And man, if Elon Musk buys it, I'll install the app the moment that news alert comes out, if you ask me. But Montana Attorney General, in fact, it was funny, earlier this morning when the news came out over my cell phone, State Senator Shelley Vance out of the Bozeman area was standing right next to us. And I said, hey, Shelley, look at this, because she carried the bill last legislative session where Montana led the way to you know, basically put a halt on this communist Chinese, you know, influence operation and propaganda machine. Attorney General Austin Knutson, of course, he's, you know, fought against this communist Chinese influence operation in a big way as AG. He said, quote, I'm glad the Supreme Court agreed that Congress acted well within its power to protect Americans from the Chinese Communist Party's intelligence gathering tool. There is no First Amendment right for foreign adversaries to spy on Americans. TikTok poses a national security threat. It should be banned and the law should be enforced on Sunday. So there you go. We'll see AG Knutson next week at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Great now out of Miles City, Montana, to see State Senator Ken Bogner, the president pro tem here in the Montana State Senate. Senator Bogner, good to see you.
Good morning. Great to be here. Glad you're in the building.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wish people could see this mustache you're rocking right now. There's a few of these crazy mustaches. Is there like a challenge going on in the Capitol right now or something?
It seems that way. I had grown a beard during hunting season. And went to shave it off for the legislative session and started playing around a little bit.
Why not be like Pancho Villa?
Exactly. Had a mustache and it kind of grew on me. And more importantly, my wife loved it. So,
well, hey, she calls the shots.
She does.
There you go. Yeah. Well, man, I know that the session on the Senate side so far off to a little bit of a rocky start, you know, with a handful of Republicans voting with the Democrats on the rules. I just was talking to Senate President Regeer a few minutes ago, and it's like, so what's the holdup now? I mean, changes were made to the committees. Like, guys, let's get moving. This can't be good for the governor's agenda. Can't be good for, you know, the Senate majority's agenda. Can't, you know, on and on down the list.
It's been disappointing. It was not a smooth start. I'll admit that. But I would hope we're getting close to actual business as the people of Montana voted us here. We heard, you know, beginning of the week, the state of the state, the governor's ready to move. He has an agenda. Republican legislators have an agenda that they went out and they campaigned on and got elected on, and they're ready to get going. So it's frustrating that we've had this holdup. But today in the Senate, we start hearing our first bills. We have an agenda of four bills, which is nice that we're moving forward. But we'll get there. I feel confident with that. We're all right there. We want the same things. We want a lower property tax and individual income tax. We want judicial reform and to protect our kids and our communities. So it's so great that that's what we're debating about. When I first got here, we had a Democrat governor, and it would be unfathomable to think that this is what we're debating about. So it's nice that we're all Republicans, but we just need to get on the same page so we can get these things done. I hope we're close, but we'll see.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are wondering, what's the holdup now? Why is this still kind of at an impasse here? It's like, get moving forward and start getting the agenda across the finish line here. So, yeah. Hey, I want to get your reaction. I want to play this soundbite here because it ties in. We're having this conversation about energy. Ron Wyden is a Democrat U.S. senator out of Oregon. He's been there a long time since I was, you know, 18 years old on Capitol Hill, Ron, or maybe 20 when he got elected. Ron Wyden's been back on Capitol Hill. He had a back and forth with President Trump's Treasury Secretary nominee, and they started talking about energy. I want to get your take on this.
more you reduce carbon, the bigger your tax savings. Now there is a big effort in the Trump administration to reverse it. I think that's going to be bad for the economy, but it is going to be damn good for China because we are in an arms race on clean energy with them. Are you going to be on the side of people who want to unravel this?
Senator Wyden, just so we can frame this for everyone in the room, China will build 100 new coal plants this year. There is not a clean energy race. There is an energy race.
Wasn't that just a great line right there?
So great. And my new district covers coal strip. So this is so good to have this out there and pushback and a Trump administration coming in that wants energy.
Covers coal strip and you cover this new transmission line, ability to send power to the east. So we're not held hostage by the you know, let's just call it, you know, clown show on the West Coast when it comes to power production and undermining that.
Exactly. We need all forms. We need to be putting out power. Like you mentioned, we're competing against China, and they're going to build hundreds of coal plants. And the environment thing, the discussion is just, it's disingenuous.
Yeah. Before I get to our next guest, we got Representative Gary Perry back here speaking of coal strip. Gary, throw that headset on, and we'll get to you here shortly. But what else do you want to tell folks across Montana? What are some of the bills you're working on or some of your priorities in particular?
As President Pro Tem, I want to get that agenda I just talked about passed. We want to lower taxes, property taxes, individual income. People want judicial reform. It's transparency in the judicial branch, and we're working hard on that. And we want to protect our kids. We had the bathroom bill and some transgender issues that are going to come up, and we want to protect our communities. That's my goal for this session is to get those things passed. And so that's what I'm working hard to do.
I think there's a lot of optimism, too, now with an inbound Trump administration. I'll be there for the inauguration on Monday. I think that's fueling a lot of optimism all across Montana. Are you seeing the same thing, Main Street, Mile City?
Absolutely. There is so much optimism that Republicans are in control, both at the federal level and here at the state. We're excited. It's a really exciting time, and I'm glad you're going to D.C. to support the president.
Yeah, looking forward to being there. When the opportunity kind of just happened to, you know, come through, it's like, why wouldn't I? You know, why wouldn't I? And so it's a historic opportunity. America's got a second chance, and I truly think we are going to see a golden era once again here. Great to see you, Ken Bogner, State Senator, the Senate President Pro Tem. Now, speaking of coal strip, we've got Representative Gary Perry out of coal strip. Representative Perry, great to see you. And I tell you what, your remarks at that pro-coal rally and roundup late last year just were spot on. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you again. Top of the day to you.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. You were here a lot earlier, and then we're like, well, where'd he go?
interestingly enough, I was able to attend the second inauguration for President Nixon. You're going to enjoy it. It's a really neat, awe-inspiring event. So
I was there for George W. Bush's first inauguration because right. I was going to college back there, and then ended up working for Senator Conrad Burns, and it was so fun because we had a great crew of Montanans that were riding horseback in the parade.
All right,
kind of like the MSU rodeo team's going to ride. Some of them are going to be on horseback for the inaugural parade for Trump.
Exactly.
And so I had this brand new suit on. I almost looked as classy as Ryan Hall looks right now with the Electric Cooperatives Association. I got a brand new suit for the big day, and then I'm out throwing hay for the horses. So, but it was fun.
Not in your suit, though.
In my suit. Suit. Yeah.
We're Montanans.
You got to get the job
done.
Get
her done.
That's right. Yeah. Energy issues.
Yep.
Reining in this crazy Held v. Montana decision is a recurring theme I'm hearing this morning.
I'd love to see that happen. Fortunately, at this point, what I'm working on, I was appointed chair of the Energy Committee for the House. And so I'm working on things on the other side, trying to get that going. As you heard, I think as well, there'll be some bills coming forward. They're going to revise MEPA, try to help mitigate some of the problems that are going to happen. You know, the Held decision, a lot of people maybe think that that's just a great thing for climate, but I guarantee you it's going to destroy industry and growth and business in the state. I mean, it's it's a real catastrophic thing for us moving forward and moving forward in the energy sector. So
I haven't heard any of those people in the Held case talk about China. I haven't heard them talk about the emissions in California we've seen of late. None of that stuff. And that's where they should be if they're truly concerned about any of that stuff.
Especially considering where the prevailing winds come from. It's coming this way. We're breathing everything that China's kicking out. We're not doing anything to get those people to be on the same board. I don't know why we have to take the upper hand and be the big brother when nobody else is joining in and helping out the rest of the world.
So, yeah, that's right. Are you optimistic about the future of Colstrip about 20 seconds before the break?
Yeah, absolutely. And things I'm working on right now are going to try to push that agenda forward. So, yeah.
All right, great. Well, stand by. We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talk. Quick break, shortest break of the hour. Once again, Co-op Day at the Capitol, Monday, great event. Lunch starts at 11. We're here today previewing that great event put on by Montana Electric Cooperatives Association.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're going to do the SCRPA here for just a second. I was just asked Representative Gary Perry, hey, what else do you want to talk about during the break when we come out of the break? And he said, I want to talk about the SCRPA bill. What the heck is the SCRPA bill? Sounds like some dance moves you used to pull back in the Nixon era or something.
Well, and I was good at them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Actually, it was an interim select committee on energy resource planning and acquisition. I always have to get that straight. Basically, what we did is we pounded for 14 months to revamp the IRP and RFP process for acquiring energy for this state. And, as you might realize, there's been a lot of consternation about the current process and the fact that the public isn't involved until almost the last, and then we end up in the courthouse all the time. So this is going to have the public involved from the very beginning. It'll establish an independent evaluator. It'll make it a competitive bid for whatever resource is in there. And it markedly improves over the process that we have right now. We got it through energy. It'll be on the House floor, I think next week, Monday or Tuesday. So I'm pretty excited because it changes that process very well.
Speeds it up, more efficiency, and hopefully doesn't bog things down in the courts at the last minute when they could have resolved it much sooner in the process.
And at the same time, protecting the ratepayers.
Okay? Yeah.
And the whole thing was designed to do that.
So. And then there was one other piece of legislation I think you were wanting to cover, too.
As you know, it's been projected that this state is going to need between 7,500 and 9,000 megawatts of additional power over the next 6 to 10 years. And we really don't have much of a solid plan going forward to fill that. And so I'm introducing legislation to establish an energy authority within our government. And essentially it'll be a 14-member board that will be made up of people from commerce, people from the Department of Environmental Quality, and then all the various aspects of industry, the co-ops, the Northwestern Energy and transmission, because transmission needs to be part of this conversation as well.
That's right.
And so you have to look at it as a total picture. And so this energy authority then will set energy policy and move the ball forward in a coordinated fashion. We had a meeting on the 17th of December with the governor. It was an energy summit. We had 21 different entities in the room talking about the energy policy, and I think we've got pretty good agreement among all those people that we need to move forward and go for it. And I think the state needs to take the lead on that. I don't see industry in and of themselves taking the lead and collaborating, and so I see the state entity being the energy authority that will take the lead and set the policy and coordinate all those efforts. In that also will be an element that's going to be dealing with transmission and another element that will deal with nuclear. And that's where we're, you know, we talked a little bit about Colstrip. I'm pushing hard to get nuclear into Montana, and I'll be introducing legislation that will try to make that happen easier, too, for to put nuclear in and to put
benefits. It just has to happen. It's absolutely a national security issue, not just an energy security. It's a national security issue. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, President Trump's Interior Secretary nominee, also talked about AI and how China's going to kick our butt in AI if we don't figure this out. Well, what does AI need? Electricity.
Yep,
a lot of it. So yep. So we're going to need more of it. Representative Gary Perry, great to see you as always. Thanks
good
for your
you
time
well.
This morning. I'm looking at the clock. We are quickly running out of time, but Senator Wendy McCamey out of Great Falls, great to see you as well. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, one of the very first things I want to tell people is I just love this sticker on the back of your computer that says Western Ag Network, eat beef, eat lamb, because the West wasn't one on salad. Well, you know.
Isn't that a great sticker?
Oh, it's fabulous.
And then I got the 82 Coffee Company. I got Olympus Arms, Warriors in Quiet Waters, EFX Sports. It's all tatted up on this.
It's great. You know? Great advertising on that. So I appreciate you letting me come on for a little bit. It's a great opportunity here. And you're always so great to support all the GOP and all of us Republicans that are working hard to try to get some good work done. As senators, we're just elected to represent the people of our communities and ensure transparency and accountability in our decision-making. And you help us do that because you help get that word out. We really, really, truly appreciate that. But it's our duty to address both the obvious and the less obvious. And so that's what I'm here about, too.
Yeah. So with about a minute to go, what do you want to tell folks? I could, throw questions out all day long, but what do you want to
say? Oh, golly. You know, there's so much. We've got so much good stuff that can be done. And since we have the GOP has the House, we have the Senate, we have the governorship, we should be able to accomplish all kinds of really great things. We're not always going to agree on absolutely everything, and we need to have those conversations. I think that's what this is all about. We're here to represent our people.
Do you think this rules debate will be over pretty soon? Are people figuring it out? Because I know you were one of the Republicans that didn't vote with the rest of the caucus. Do you think this will come to an end here pretty soon?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why it wouldn't. You know, we're getting work done and we're moving forward. We just really needed to get that work done. We didn't need to be fighting against the governor's agenda. We needed to be on board with the governor's agenda entirely.
Yeah, the legislative priorities might be a little different from the governor's,
right.
But certainly you don't want to be opposing the governor
exactly.
and standing in the way, just like we don't want the Republican Congress doing that to President Trump either,
exactly.
right?
Yeah. The executive is a co-equal branch of government. We want to honor that co-equalness.
How do we work together?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Even if our priorities might be slightly different. Senator McCamey, great to see you. Sorry we
great
are so
you.
Out of time
thank
right
you.
Now. All right, thank
bye
you.
Bye now.